You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Where the view of Lake Wissota is still crisp and clean, but yes, apparently the wildfire smoke is working its way back into Wisconsin, so I'm just going to enjoy the view while we've still got it here. Good morning, welcome back, 8:06 right now. Nice to have you up north on this Wednesday morning, August 13th. Parker Olson is along here as well, producing our show from Madison Studio A2. Earl Ingram is standing by as well. Later this hour, Melissa Baldoff will have our climate check, and we'll be talking about a rebate program that has now been around for 2 years, thanks to President Biden's Inflation Reduction Act. And we'll talk about just what kind of an impact it has had for homeowners across Wisconsin, since Wisconsin was the first state in the union to adopt it and get some money back in people's pockets for doing some home efficiency work around their house. Brittany Merlot is off today. Get your local forecast throughout the course of the day on your favorite Civic Media station. We know what the weather was like last weekend in the Milwaukee area with this just tragic amount of rainfall. All kinds of folks were impacted. I know Jane Matinere was talking about the water in her basement. Earl Ingram got more than a splash in his as well, but he joins us now, and we'll be talking about his What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast in just a bit. But first, of course, Earl, how are you? How are you and your neighbors doing there after the weekend?
Well, you know, man, good morning to you, Pat. Mm-hmm. And what I would say to you is, when you've lived a little while, you take things in stride. And, you know, my family's healthy, my basement didn't collapse like so many other poor people who have really experienced, you know, this catastrophic situation in their lives without knowing where to turn. I'm fortunate, you know, I had 3 feet of water in my basement. And you know, when you start saying having 3 feet of water in your basement, they came up through the sewer.
Ouch.
Okay, so we're not talking about water that came in any other way, but it came in through my sewer. So that tells you that everything that's in your basement is certainly shot. I'm just happy that my foundation has stood during this.
You're keeping a sense of humor about it. Tell the folks what you told me off air. I asked if your basement was finished or not, and what did you say?
Well, it was finished in the terms of what people think, where you can basically go down and spend time with it and feel comfortable. But it is officially finished now because, you know, everything in it is gone. And, you know, you get a chance to look at your basement again when you've lived somewhere for 30 years. You've accumulated a lot of things. And part of this, I have to take it with a grain of salt. I've been wanting to get rid of some of that stuff for a long time. This gave me the impetus to get rid of it.
Certainly, that's one way to go about doing it, you know. So going back 30 years, and I was doing a lot of different odd jobs for a time while Sherry was attending the medical college down there. And that included a very short-term gig in the offices of the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewerage District, MMSD. And that's when they were building the deep tunnel system that they have right now. And I'm not taking MMSD off the hook or anything. Don't get me wrong here. But when you talk about the sewers backing up and things, I mean, you can dig deep tunnels like that. But, I mean, for a once-in-a-thousand-year event, you know, 10 inches of rain in practically the blink of an eye, I mean, it's not surprising that the sewers backed up. But it sure would be – I don't even know how you try to mitigate against something like this. This is just a cataclysmic amount of rainfall in a short time.
It is, and in some instances, I think where I am, we had over 12, but there are other places that had 14 and a half inches of rain. And, you know, it wasn't like the floodgates opened up, Pat. This happened during the time we were asleep. Mm-hmm. And so you had no clue what was going on. There was certainly lightning that nonstop during the night, and you didn't hear hard downpour of rain, but it just kept coming and kept coming. And I've read where it said a 1,000-year rain. Well, I don't know where to get those numbers from, but if it only happens once in 1,000 years, I'm grateful that I won't be around the next time.
we're talking to Earl Ingram, and you know, along with the work that he's got to do around the house, I mean, the work goes on that you're doing for your program, the What's Going On podcast, that you can get over at civicmedia.us to learn more. And I guess I'm not making a direct tie-in here, but one of your recent episodes here is called Working with Faith, and talking about, you know, people who are they can make a difference by being mentors and spiritual guides, and there is definitely a role for faith in everybody's life.
You know, Pat, I live my life predicated on service. I'm a servant. I realized at a very young age in my life that was a direction that my life was going to go in, and I've worked hard to live that faith, and it suits me well. It certainly, when you can make a difference in somebody's life, I think sometimes all of us have, actually I know this to be a fact, all of us have the ability and the gifts and the talents to make a difference in somebody else's life. And I think there are people who don't realize how rewarding that can be, not only to the people whose lives you're impacting and changing, but to your own. And so, you know, I've realized that, you know, sometimes people think it's about money and people want money. That's not it. You know, people just need sometimes a pat on the back. Pat, right now is a perfect time where people who are devastated, who don't know where to turn, whose lives have been turned inside out and upside down, need reassurance. And so they need people to say it's going to be all right. Right. You know, you're still here, and there's still work for you to do, or otherwise you wouldn't be here. Yeah. So reassurance is part of what faith is about, helping people understand that life doesn't end unless, you know, the breath that you breathe stops.
Mm-hmm. And so this particular episode, the show description says that in the heart of Milwaukee, two community leaders are making a powerful difference as mentors, builders, champions, from hosting after-school programs to leading workshops and neighborhood outreach. They are creating opportunities and inspiring the next generation to rise above the challenges of city life. These sound like very impressive figures that you talk to.
Well, they are, but they're, you know, they're a couple of ants. We have many of them inside of our community, and clearly if it wasn't for them, we would be in a lot worse situation than we're in now. At the root of a lot of this is the changing dynamics of our nation, and a time when we were in control of basically things that happened in the world. Pat, when you and I were younger, the United States was the epicenter of everything. So people who didn't have college degrees, such as myself, could live a middle-class lifestyle, and there were great opportunities. Those things are gone. They're never coming back. And so people struggle. And so it's great that there are people who understand the tenets of faith and actually put them into practice.
All right. We're talking to Earl Ingram from the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast. Get it at civicmedia.us. And then a couple of other episodes. And we've talked about, you know, the priority that you put on health and helping people take better care of yourself. There is one that basically gets into skin health, and another one entitled Hidden Dangers of Your Meds. Are you depleting your health? So, again, you're just putting a real priority on people taking good care of themselves.
Well, you know, Pat, I do a segment with a pharmacist. It's called In the Pharmacy with Dr. Omar, the pharmacist. And a lot of times we go to doctors. I was at one of my doctors on yesterday and had a conversation. Doctors prescribe medication. They don't do a deep dive into what medication is and what it does. And so when you've got several different doctors and they're prescribing different medications, you wind up taking medications for extended periods of time, and your body wasn't meant to deal with those medications. And so people need to take charge of their own health. I mean, you trust the doctors because the doctors are the specialists, but the doctors are dealing with like assembly line patients. It's not like it was when you and I were young and I had my own doctor. I could call him up and say, hey, doctor, I need to see you. He'd say, hey, come in tomorrow. That no longer exists. So people are taking medications that have been prescribed 6, 7, 8 years ago and probably should have been stopped long ago. But the best way to handle those things is through your pharmacist, and you've got to get to know your pharmacist like you once knew your doctor, because your pharmacist is the one who can talk directly to your doctors and make sure that the medications that you are taking don't interact with one another in a negative way.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I have lost track of how often I've heard this from people, and I saw it in my own mom, where again, it's almost like a bunch of cords get all tangled up, and trying to untangle them one by one are all these meds, because they keep taking them all because, you know, trusted providers said it. But you have more than one trusted provider. There might be this endocrinologist along with this family practice person and this internist. And far too often, there's not a comprehensive medical history that includes all of the drugs that they're taking. And I, you know, my wife, as well as a physician, has, you know, looked at this tangled mess and said, okay, we can pull this one out and we can pull this one out. Don't do it yourself. And like you said, your pharmacist can very definitely play a role in this.
You know, I recall my mom, who's been gone now for some time, was, you know, just basically in the bed and for, you know, days on end. And they told us she was transitioning. And they said, well, we're going to pull these medications. And she was taking a bunch of them. And once they pulled those medications away, my mom lived for another 8, 9 months. And it was mainly because she just had too many different medications. And the older we get, our bodies can't handle that. And so it's critically important that people understand that, not just for yourself, Pat, but for your loved ones, the elderly ones in your family, you need to be on lookout for them who can't, you know, any longer control those things on their own.
Exactly. On the text line from Jim in Brookfield, Earl, you are to be commended for keeping both a proper perspective on things and a sense of humor, and it's something we appreciate as well. You can get Earl's podcast. Learn more about it by heading to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. Earl, I know you've been through a lot. Thank you for taking some time to share with us today. I appreciate it.
Always great to have an opportunity. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Earl. Coming up next, Melissa Baldoff will be along with our climate check. I'm Pat Kreitlow, live from Lake Wissota. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
It is just about 8:23 now, and Melissa Baldoff is here with our weekly climate check. Melissa, how are you?
I'm doing all right, thanks. How about you?
I'm doing good. Now, we do have something substantive to talk about, the anniversary of an important rebate program that came about through the Inflation Reduction Act. But I just caught this, and so we're literally just here to react to this. The headline in the New York Times, Trump cracks down on bird deaths, but only from wind turbines. Critics accuse the administration of a double standard, trying to stop wind projects because of potential bald eagle deaths while easing the rules for gas companies and oil companies. The story says bald eagles must be protected to the fullest extent of the law from dangerous wind turbines, President Trump's Interior Secretary declared this week. But 4 months ago, Trump called for gutting the very law that applies the Bald and Golden Eagle Protection Act, calling it a burden on oil and gas producers. So you can kill the bald eagle for your oil and gas projects, but not for those wind projects. Again, not the onion. This is why climate segments are both frustrating and kind of entertaining in their tragic goofiness, Melissa.
Right. So,
No, can I pause just here to say that this pause right there, this is the worst thing I do all week. The worst thing. And somebody's going to call me out on it, that you bring poor Melissa on and you read some goofy headline about what Donald Trump does is doublespeak on the environment. And then I go, all right, Melissa, go. And what are you supposed to do with something like that? Really? I mean, I feel like you should just say, Donald Trump, everybody, drop the mic and walk away. You know,
it's a target rich environment when we're talking about Donald Trump. There's always something to say. And I would say in this one, I mean, for one, you've got a good response there, just
right,
Donald Trump. But yeah, I mean, look, I an animal lover. I don't want anything to happen to bald eagles or any other birds. But the irony there, I don't even know that irony is the right word.
Irony died so long ago. Yeah.
Right. I mean, but the real deaths that and real health implications that millions of Americans, humans, will face because of his actions on, rolling back our climate protections. It's just stunning to think that anyone could make decisions the way he does. And yet here we are.
And yet,
because you can say that about anything he does.
Here we are indeed. So let's get to more substantive news. That last week, for example, there was a celebration that went on about the homes rebate program. This is through the Inflation Reduction Act. There was an event a week ago in Washington Park that involved Congresswoman Gwen Moore and others to note that thanks to the Inflation Reduction Act, there is this rebate program that helps put cash back in people's pockets for, you know, doing energy efficiency projects on their home. And if I saw the news release right from Governor Evers, it's put out at least, what, $2 million in rebates so far, and hopefully a lot more to come.
Yes, it's incredibly exciting that this program has been such a success in Wisconsin. And, you know, this is, I would say, thanks in large part to a number of folks and organizations who worked really hard on the front end to make sure that Wisconsin was going to be ready to go a year ago. And Wisconsin was the first state to be able to launch our home energy rebate program. And that's because so much work went in, you know, to kind of get ready for that. So that starts with the leadership of Governor Evers and, you know, the folks that focus on energy and the PSC and the advocacy of organizations like Forward Together Wisconsin and like Green Homeowners United, which is really a fantastic success story here. Green Homeowners United, we've had Kevin Kane from GHU join us previously to talk about some of these programs. They, for anyone who's not familiar, they are a woman-owned union contractor in Southeast Wisconsin, and they have done more just their organization has done the most home energy rebates of any contractor in the country. Wisconsin has done, if not the most, one of the most of these projects in the country. So it's not only that we have this program, it's that it is incredibly successful here. And the good news for folks, you know, we've had a lot of bad climate news, especially bad news about funding and programs that are available. The good news about this program is the money is already allocated. The money is in the state. It is with Focus on Energy, and people can still participate in this program, and they absolutely should, because if this money doesn't get spent, you know, it just doesn't get spent, and it's not going to be used for anything else. So people should absolutely take advantage of this program, which is going to enable them to, you know, do things like make their, you know, make their home more energy efficient. So this is something that they should, you know, get an energy assessment. For some people, if your income is low enough, you can get one for free. Otherwise, it's a few hundred bucks to get the energy assessment. The energy assessment is required to be eligible for any of the rebates to get this work done. But there is a lot of good news available still for folks who, you know, are interested in checking out what they're eligible for, how this can help their home, help them save money on their energy bills. And it was really, like I said, a really exciting event. Like you said, Congresswoman Gwen Moore was there. Mm-hmm. Governor Evers was there. We had Mayor Johnson there.
See?
Nandela Barnes, a number of other great partners from labor and the advocacy community really helped make this successful.
All right. Melissa Baldoff, more at focusonenergy.com. Melissa, have a great day. Thank you.
Thanks, you too.
All right. Back with more after this. You're up north. We are about 30 minutes away from Matt and Air on Air across the Civic Media Radio Network from 9 to 11 o'clock. And coming up 1 hour from now, Jane and Greg will be talking to Andra Watkins, a best-selling author, discussing the rise of Christian nationalism here in the U.S. And just after 10 o'clock, talking to Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. That's all part of Matt and Air on Air coming up across the Civic Media Radio Network. A reminder to sign up for our newsletter at Up North News. You can do that at upnorthnewswi.com. And in today's newsletter, our friend Laura Bird, author who appears about monthly or so and gives various book recommendations, well, she's got a little essay in the newsletter titled A Love Letter to Wisconsin's Independent Bookstores, and talks about you know, how from a very early age she was just completely charmed by bookstores and basically grew up in them and grew up to love books and love writing, and now wants everybody to know how to support their own local independent bookstore. So check that out again in our newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Parker called my attention to the text line in talking to Melissa about, you know, the Trump administration wanting to protect bald eagles from wind power, but, you know, not so much gas or oil. And Bob in Eau Claire texted in, I'd like to point out that birds die by flying into shiny hotels as well. So I assume we're talking like Trump Tower, for example.
Yeah.
I would think so. Yeah, we appreciate the input there. Again, if you want to know more about the program that Melissa was talking about, head to focusonenergy.com. Focusonenergy.com is something that the state created a long time back to help people get information that could make them more energy efficient. And so, again, there's two. We talked mostly about the homes program, and that supports whole home energy efficiency improvements like, you know, insulation and air sealing, heating, ventilation, air conditioning upgrades, things like that. There's also a HEAR program, H-E-A-R, and that's for low to moderate income households for installing energy efficient appliances, electric heat pumps, installing upgrades to electrical wiring or electrical panels, and again, things like insulation and air sealing. So head over to Focus on Energy while the funds are still there for doing those kinds of home efficiency projects and getting something back from all of that. Looking at what is being put out right now by Courier Newsroom, and Courier Newsroom is the parent company of Up North News. You can also always head to couriernewsroom.com and learn more. And, of course, our friend Mark Jacob is on every Friday, but he also has his own newsletter that you can get through Courier Newsroom. It's called Stop the Presses. And this week, he's got a little Q&A with Jay Rosen, who is a longtime journalism instructor at New York University. He is one of journalism's most influential thinkers and writers, always looking at, you know, the future of journalism and current practices. And they discuss what you could kindly call the propaganda adjacent practice of what Rosen calls reverse verification. In other words, using the media in a way to undermine actual facts just because people don't like the facts and instead look for ways to try to label them as biased. That's in Mark Jacobs' Stop the Presses newsletter that you can get through Courier Newsroom. And then there is the new daily newsletter from our colleague Cam Stevenson, who is our new Capitol Hill reporter after leaving the Copper Courier in Arizona. And his newsletter is called Below the Beltway. And again, you can sign up for that through couriernewsroom.com. And I'm looking at his latest edition here. And it is, it's provocative. Trump's solution to the Epstein scandal is lowering the age of adulthood. Yes, really. That's the headline there. In part, Donald Trump has a long history of trying to reduce the age of adulthood for various purposes. Most recently, by saying that Washington, D.C. needs to be taken over by the National Guard or the military. He points to a recent carjacking by two 15-year-olds. And it is one of Trump's long-held convictions that teenagers are adults and that when they commit crimes, they should be treated like adults. But there's more to it. It's more than just about, you know, criminal charges from him. It's part of a larger conservative movement, Cam writes, to redefine adulthood entirely. For example, lowering the age at which, children qualify for SNAP benefits by dropping that from 18 to 14. It means that kids can be booted off SNAP, or I should say the kids' parents can be booted off SNAP for nutrition support for their teenagers. But it gets worse, as Cam points out. There's child labor laws. Nearly 30 states have loosened child labor laws since 2021. And there have been attempts by Republicans in Wisconsin to do that as well. It's also listed in Project 2025 to remove state child labor laws altogether and let employers hire kids as young as 14. Oh, but it's more than that. There's child marriage laws. The anti-abortion folks have repeatedly blocked bans on child marriage because, as Cam writes, they think it's better for kids to have kids than to get an abortion. Legislators in Tennessee tried and failed to remove the age requirement for marriage altogether. And Utah just lessened the penalties for adults who have sex with teens. Cam Stevenson continues to write in Below the Beltway, Trump has made it no secret that, as far as he's concerned, when someone hits puberty, they're an adult in every sense of the word. When Trump was 46, he hit on 14-year-old choir girls. That's documented. When he was 60, he said he wouldn't have sex with anyone younger than 13. And when his daughter Ivanka was 17, she made him promise that he wouldn't date anyone younger than her. When discussing talking about, you know, the Epstein case and Epstein's practice of grooming Mar-a-Lago employees, Trump's anger was focused not on the victim, but on the transactional nature of poaching his staff. not the sex scandal that came along from it. So just a long list of things that help explain why Trump is not bothered about the victims in the Epstein scandal. And as always, is looking for what's in it for him, whether it's from a policy standpoint or a personal standpoint. And again, that's all in Cam Stevenson's Below the Beltway newsletter. I mean, just from today. And so for more, head over to upnorthnewswi.com and to couriernewsroom.com to learn more. I noticed something on the Civic Media website that I wanted to point out as well, because, well, it gets into the definitions of corporations here. And I think this is a very important thing to talk about. And I haven't talked about it for some time. Courier Newsroom, in turn, has a parent company called Good Information, and it is what's known as a public benefit corporation. Well, if you look at the Civic Media website, they'll tell you as well that Civic Media and the local stations are different than other stations around the state, and it's not just in the programming. Civic Media is also a public benefit corporation. As a company, Civic Media's mission is to champion the practice of democracy through the power of honest and informative local voices. So, well, what does that mean by a public benefit corporation? Isn't that just the work that a nonprofit does? Yeah, it gets to this whole notion of what I think is the bane of the American economic existence these past 40 years under Reaganism. And it is this whole notion of fiduciary responsibility, meaning that in the eyes of conservatives, the first and perhaps only function and purpose of a corporation is to maximize profit for shareholders and not focus on the company's mission. It's why you see, I mean, the quintessential example would be a factory that either is, polluting the area or ups and leaves for another town, for another country, because they don't feel any sense of responsibility anymore. They're not the hometown company anymore. They're a multinational corporation. So what's the counter to that? Well, you can have corporations that, rather than just the fiduciary responsibility to shareholders, can organize as something called a public benefit corporation. And all that means is they're still out there making money, they're still out there raising revenue, but they're not looking to maximize profit. First and foremost, they state a mission. And that way, every investor knows if you invest in this company, you're investing in our mission, not necessarily to get rich. You're investing in something that we don't want to lose money, but if we break even or to the point that we make a profit, that may be plowed back into the mission of the company. So unlike a nonprofit, which specifically has rules against, raising revenue and raising a profit, a public benefit corporation does indeed go after revenue because it costs money to do these things. It costs money to turn on the transmitter and run a radio station. It costs money to hire the people that do everything that we do at Up North News and Courier Newsroom. But at no point is the mission of the corporation to maximize shareholder profit. And if that means, mass layoffs, or if it means that, AI is going to do all the reporting from now on, well, that's too bad. Well, that's not how it works with a public benefit corporation. And so I was very happy to see that listed on the Civic Media website. If you want to learn more, go to civicmedia.us/ourmission with a hyphen in there, our mission, to learn more. Just go to the About Us page and you'll find out more about what they do. So a public benefit corporation. Hope we helped you learn just a little bit more about what's going on. Let's do a little sports for folks that might have missed it. The Brewers are going to be going for their 12th win in a row this afternoon at American Family Field, taking on the Pittsburgh Pirates. Coverage is going to begin at 12:35 on stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Park Falls, and Hayward. So as Parker and I have reminded you previously, workplace efficiency, not going to be so great today. Cancel the meetings. Put a do not disturb thing on your mailbox.
Hey, Pat, what time is that meeting that we have today?
Yeah, we do have a weekly planning meeting for the show. Typically takes place at 1 o'clock, which is about when the first pitch is scheduled.
I see.
So let's make the executive decision that we're going to have to move that meeting up. What a great idea from you, Parker.
Well, thank you. Sometimes I use my head and I think a little. It's cool.
and we go, okay. Now, I mean, I do appear on the Todd Alba show at 2:06. And again, folks, Todd Alba should get all of your attention. Unless, of course, you're on one of the stations where there will be a Brewers game on instead. And then what can we tell you? Have the Brewers station on and listen to the game. And also put the Civic Media app on and put Todd Alba in your other ear.
There you go.
I feel that's fair. I think we can all multitask that way.
I can do that.
We're going to multitask our way through a break. A local update is next for some of you. And if that's the case, I'll see you here bright and early 6 a.m. tomorrow morning here up north. And for the rest of you, some final news and notes coming up with James Kelly from Chippewa Falls after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, on Sunday mornings, I put out a newsletter through Up North News, Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitler, with a focus on the Wisconsin political headlines of the past week. And also a question of the week, where I asked this time around, should politicians delete their social media accounts while they're in office? It was a question that was inspired by Derek Van Orden's many insulting or embarrassing recent tweets, as opposed to, you know, putting the phone down and doing some work. Here's an example of somebody doing some work. Senator Tammy Baldwin last Saturday was at the Tomahawk Chamber of Commerce discussing child care issues with parents and providers and community leaders. And later today, Senator Baldwin is going to be in Superior talking to local leaders about the housing crisis and her work to boost the housing supply and lower costs for Wisconsin families. So that'll be going on at the Development Association on Tower Avenue coming up at 11 o'clock this morning. Let's turn now to our Chippewa Valley newsroom and James Kelly, who is standing by to tell us about the stories that he's covering for Civic Media. James, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I am doing all right as well. Appreciate the list that you've got here. You know, plenty of things that you're working on behalf of Civic Media, and that includes the controversial Enbridge Line 5 oil and gas pipeline up north and what is happening with the prospect of relocating it around the Bad River tribal community. What's happening there now?
Yeah, so this has obviously been a very long legal process, the battle between the tribe and Enbridge Energy, who's trying to reroute this 41-mile project to have the pipeline go around the reservation rather than through it. After about 10 years ago, their easement for allowing the pipeline to go through the reservation expired, and it was never renewed. So now the project, there's still concerns that there could be environmental concerns with wetlands and stormwater runoff downstream a little bit. So they've been trying to fight back with some environmental conservation groups. And yesterday they had opening statements and public testimony in Ashland. It's the first step of this about 2 month long legal process where they're challenging the DNR permits specifically for stormwater runoff and the wetlands. And a lot of their concerns, again, about those environmental issues and references to the Line 3 pipeline in Minnesota, which had it breached a few aquifers when it was being constructed a few years ago, and the Line 6 pipeline out in Jefferson County, which did have an oil spill last year.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of reason for concern that even if it doesn't pass through the Bad River Reservation and goes around it, it is still right there in a sensitive watershed for the Bad River itself, which is a big part of the reason why people want to see the entire line shut down, not just in Wisconsin, but in Michigan as well. There is another story that we've talked about here involving a tribal community, the Lac du Flambeau, and the adjoining non-tribal town of Lac du Flambeau. And we mentioned the federal judge ruling against the tribe when it comes to non-tribal members accessing their land, one that I'm sure is still generating conversation up that way, James.
Yeah, definitely still generating conversation. Tribal officials are looking into their next options after a federal judge ruled that they can't block off those roads. When the negotiations over permanent right-of-way access ended a few years ago in 2023, the tribe actually barricaded those roads, only letting those homeowners in and out for medical appointments and real emergency-type situations. That was shut down fairly quickly, but since then, they've still been battling over whether there is going to be public right-of-way access on those lands. The last negotiations had involved as much as $10 million for permanent right-of-way access, or kind of a yearly annual lease review that would be based on the value of the properties. Either way, a federal judge ruled that those roads do have to remain open to the public use.
Yeah, and it's funny, when I talked about it last week, I mean, the way I read the judge's decision, my first thought was, well, easements, schmeasements. Apparently the easements don't mean much. But, you know, when I think of the Line 5 easement up in the Bad River, obviously there is still a role for easements for, you know, inanimate objects like pipelines. But public access roads to people's property, clearly another matter. And now we'll see if the tribe can negotiate with the town and come up with, you know, some kind of an acceptable deal to once again have, you know, legal and binding easements in that area. I mentioned a bit ago about affordable housing issues up in Superior, that Senator Baldwin is up there today. This is an issue everywhere. I talked about it with Chad Holmes yesterday in the Wausau area. It's an issue in Washburn County as well.
Yeah, in Washburn County on Monday, they're going to be starting to share the results of their recently conducted housing survey. I would expect those results to look kind of similar to other housing studies we've seen in the area, where this is, you know, the Northwest Wisconsin just doesn't have a whole ton of housing stock, which leads to different issues in different areas. In Eau Claire, we've seen a growing unhoused population. And in Rice Lake, they're having trouble filling all of the open job positions they have because they simply don't have enough land for people to live on. So it's likely to be something like that, where more housing has to be built and maybe more mixed use housing and affordable housing that aligns with the needs of their workforce specifically.
Yeah. And like, you know, like we said in Wausau, I mean, Colby Windows and Doors basically had to take matters into their own hands and construct apartment units there. I don't know that that's going to be the answer everywhere, but something that, companies and local governments will have to work together. And then finally, there have been a few beach closures around Eau Claire, which we come to expect in August, unfortunately.
Yeah, you know, when those big storms roll through and the water stands still, it's good for bacteria and good for algae blooms. So around the Eau Claire area, Riverview Beach, Big Falls Beach, and Lake Eau Claire Beach are all closed. Half Moon Beach and Lake Altoona Beach have water advisories in effect, so they're recommending that you don't go swimming in those waters. But if you do, look out for symptoms like rash and headaches and stuff like that. And then other beaches, Coon Fork Beach and Coon Fork Campground Beach, do remain fully open. So there is somewhere to swim in the hot weather.
Good. Well, consider yourselves warned out there about it. And again, something we just have to deal with in these dog days of summer. James Kelly, thank you very much. Appreciate the report.
Thanks, Pat.
All right. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we will be talking to another new candidate for a Wisconsin State Senate seat. Sherita Booker talking about weekend events, Todd Alba, Joe Zepecki, Chad Holmes, Sean O'Malley, and much more. So tune in tomorrow starting at 6 a.m. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News, the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network. Have a wonderful rest of your Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. here up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.